right, here we go. For immunity and reward. Driver's ready. Go!
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Survivors Ready. This is the show where a few old gay men get together every week and we recap Survivor. And we're missing Fatty this evening, but we have a very special guest co-host. And you're still muted, Faye. Anyway, but I am joined by one Mr. Faye Driver.
So much work. Hi!
Were you doing that for a really long time?
Like, ever since you started the intro.
You guys are muted until I...
I know, but it's I have to take the part of Big Fatty here. You have to fill in the hole, right?
You know, a little behind the scenes, a little behind the scenes magic, or a little for information for the listeners. So, oh my God, I'm getting sold. I don't remember what... I was about to say something, and it completely just... Anyway, we're welcome.
You're going to tell us... how annoying Big Fatty is prior to the show.
Well, I there was some point I was going to make. Well, I mean, what I do is I mute. Oh, yeah. I mute Fatty and Faye while I'm doing the intro. Because if I don't, Fatty would ruin it.
We throw all kinds of insults and we say horrible things when Adam is running the open to the show and he can't hear us.
And that's what I was going to say. I have no idea what they're saying. But I always see their mouths moving, their lips while I'm doing the intro, and but they're muted because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. Well, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist when it comes to the audio and everything. I don't ever feel like I achieve the perfection that I'm looking for. But
you should have heard that the 15 minute discussion we had about the 12 channel mixer and it's not good enough and big and Adam needs a bigger one. He has to have the 20 mixed channel mixer because this one just isn't good enough.
Well, we need it. We need it for the Pride 48 events. So we have plenty of channels.
You can make whatever excuse you want, Adam. If you want a bigger one, you go ahead and get a bigger one.
Well, I mean, don't you always want a bigger one? I mean, isn't that... Anyway, we've gone on a long time without introducing Sam. So we have a very special guest co-host in Fatty's place this evening, and that is Sam from the Hinterlands, as Fatty calls her. Hello, Sam.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome. We're excited to have you. I know, other than Faye, you're the other one that takes these... I don't know if you actually take notes like during the episodes, like if you're writing stuff down, but we've gotten a couple of emails from you, like recapping your thoughts and they're
lengthy emails.
Yeah. They're very in depth, which we love. But so I'm saying you and Faye now in this episode are in charge of the notes because I have no notes. Anyway, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Do you have notes, Sam?
I do.
Oh,
yes.
Terrific. Awesome.
So anyway, we do sometimes do a little I don't have a personal story, but I will say that I'll make up a personal story. I will say that you have one. I'll give you a chance. Faye's raising his hand like
Miss Teacher.
So I did my taxes yesterday was Saturday. I did my taxes on Friday because our taxes here in the States are due on April 14th, or that's when we have to do them by. Mm-hmm. And normally, back in the day when I had a shitty job or I was in college or anything like that, I would do my taxes like as soon as I had the information from whatever employer I was working for, like February 1 or something, I was doing my taxes. And I've always done my own taxes using TurboTax. And anyway, so... Now that I have a good paying job, we get our bonus in March, and I normally owe money now.
Uh-oh. So, well, that's poor planning on your part.
Well, probably, because Mark was telling me, well, why don't you just change your deductions, you know, whatever. Anyway, this isn't a tax podcast.
Or make some investments, my friend.
So
stop spending money on holidays and put some money into a 401k.
I do have a 401k. I have all that.
Don't you get a discount? Don't you get a tax break when you add to your 401k?
Well, you get, yes. I mean, anything you put into the 401k is not taxed. So basically they pull that out of your paycheck first and then they tax whatever's left over. So yes, you're correct. My company matches a certain percentage and I put that exact amount that they match.
Oh, yeah.
So that I get the match. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to up that. Anyway, again, this isn't a tax. But so I don't, it's not that I mind, and I have the money to pay the taxes I owe. It's not like I owe, you know, a ton of money every year, but it has gone from getting money back to now owing money. And because I've always liked just having a little bit extra in my paycheck rather than and paying it.
You know, 1% are you.
So I wait now. And so Mark kept saying, when are you going to do your taxes? When are you? So I finally did it. Well, now that Pride 48 is a company, I had to include all the Pride 48 stuff in
there.
Oh,
my God.
So
you're
I had
raping
to do
the government. With your fake, phony company.
No, it's a real company.
You.
I mean, it's a real company. I had to. I mean, I needed to do a company. It is an actual company. It's an LLC. But, I mean, we take in money and we pay for the event spaces and we pay for the website and we do all that.
Right.
So it is.
And who do we actually do our financial statements to? Is there an accounting? Do we have an audit? I'd like to see that.
No, because it's all me, right? I mean, when you have I'm a sole proprietor LLC, so it's all me. So there's no board of directors or anything like that. It's all, I would go to jail if, you know, no one else. So anyway, I did that and it was a pain in the butt because
you would have the best time in jail, wouldn't you?
Well, I would be willing. I mean, I would be a willing participant if
right.
You know,
I bet you would.
So anyway, so I did that. And then we went out to eat today, which is unrelated to taxes, but I'm feeling like an old person because we both were complaining that it was too much food. And so
we
both got boxes and then ate the leftovers for dinner tonight. So
good for you.
And I told him, I said next we're gonna be eating dinner at 4 p.m. And now my favorite vacation is cruising.
Oh my God. You know, I've got tears in my eyes.
My favorite vacation is cruising now.
Shouldn't we talk to Sam?
We should. Sam, do you have a personal story?
Oh gosh, no.
Oh my God, Sam, please save us from this terror.
It's not terrible.
Okay.
All right. Maybe it's a little terrible, but no, I didn't prepare a personal story. What do you want to know? What do you want to know? Ask questions.
Where are the hinterlands? That's a good question.
Upstate New York.
Oh, upstate New York. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Anywhere near the Finger Lakes?
Farther east than that.
Farther east than
if you found the Finger Lakes. If you found the Finger Lakes and went due east and you found a thumb, that would be Lake Otsego.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's where I'm near. Yes.
All right. Terrific. And now what did you do today, Sam? Did you work or did you play or did you do housework like I did?
Today I drove from one of our houses to the other, which is about 4.5 miles apart. So I'm now officially in the Pinelands, which is South Jersey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I am right now.
All right.
And it's much warmer. We're having spring down here.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes.
So you had a regular day just flirting about from one house to the other.
Well, this would be driving in an SUV with a husband and a dog.
Oh, the husband. Ugh.
Nah, he's all
right. Okay,
he's a keeper.
Well, I can tell you a personal story today as well. I was a man today. I acted as the man in the relationship.
I think you're always a man. I mean, you're a man all the time. So,
I take that as a compliment. Today, the washing machine. Now, I've told stories previously on the Pink Wheelnuts podcast. pinkwheelnuts.com about my washing machine and how my washing machine failed about, I don't know, 3 months ago. And I repaired that. There was water dripping out of the bottom of the thing and I replaced a water pump in it. And I felt like such a man. It cost me $37. So I was, for a short period of time, I was testosterone filled being so proud about my accomplishments. And then today, the washing machine failed again. So what do you do? Well, since I am a man, I did diagnose that it, you know how when you open up the washing machine, I have a top loader. It's your normal, you know, the big bucket bin. You throw your clothes in the top, you throw in some detergent and you turn the thing and water fills the bucket, right? A normal washing machine.
Yeah, those are the ones I always think of. I think one day maybe I'll graduate to the because the top loader to me feels like
right.
the cheaper of the washers, and then sure. when you get to the front loaders, you get
when
to
you've
the more
really
expensive
made it in
ones.
Life.
When you so I feel like when I get the front loader, I'll know I've really made it. But we still have a top load. In fact, we got like the Sears special. Oh, I mean, because right. I didn't want to spend a lot of money. I'm like, oh, so we got those one of those where you pay like $400 or $500 and you get both. You know?
Oh wow, that's a good value.
They're just white. You know, there's
that's the one that I have. I got the Sears. It's the one, I believe it is the M110. Very common model.
I don't know my model.
Super, super cheap to operate. I mean, the thing is just built like a tank. Anyway, well, on this one today, you know that when you open the lid, the thing stops, right? So
yeah, there's a little pokey thing that jams down in a hole. Exactly. And I assume there's a sensor in there, some kind of tripwire or something that...
You've nailed it on the head. Well, I discovered that my pokey thing, thing.
Sorry to use
sensor,
technical terms. I don't want to confuse anyone. You know,
has failed. So, I mean, I've not yet. So now I'm going to go to my friendly washer repair parts store, which we have here, and I'm going to pick me up a pokey thing, a pokey thing sensor for my M110 Sears washing machine. I intend to do that tomorrow. But I jury-rigged it, and I got it to work. So fear not. Everyone will have clean clothes for tomorrow.
Well, I've never seen the sensor go out, but I have seen some trashy folks who even had their – I think they even had their washer on their front porch. You know, I mean, that kind of person. And it was so old that the lid had rusted. And so they had like a old wooden spoon handle that they would jam down in that sensor so that it would come on.
Well, that's essentially what I did today too. I just jammed a thing in there to make the sensor work. And I got my clean clothes. All right. Enough about this. Sam, do you have any questions before we begin?
I don't think so.
All right. I have a couple things that I'd like to discuss, actually. I want to talk about the rules of the game, you know, the Survivor's Ready game. So I don't know if you want to do that at the end of the show or the beginning of the show, because
I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not prepared with scoring tonight.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Oh,
but
no.
But next week.
Yes.
I will be ready with that. I'm sorry. I mean, you guys can spank me at some point, but I'm not prepared. But you can ask your... So we're not going to have a game segment because I don't have anything to tell anyone because I just had no time. But if you have questions, then let me know.
Okay. You know what? I will hold my questions until when we do have a games segment. So there's no point in talking about it now. But I would like to point out, you did say that you'd have something up on the SurvivorsReadyPodcast.com website.
I lie about that all the time,
and
Faye.
I was very disappointed today.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Let me make another promise. I will have that up there by next week.
Very good. Then I'm going to make a note of that, and we'll talk about it next week.
The only thing I can tell people tonight is... We only get positive points. There are no negative points. So if someone gets voted off, you don't lose anything for that. So we're only scoring, you know, if they find an idol or if they, you know, whatever.
Right.
So and no negative points. But that's all I can really tell you.
Shouldn't we ask Sam about her team? Did you choose a team?
I did choose a team. Now
I'd like to hear your team, please.
All right. My team was Aurora. That was my first pick. And the reason I picked Aurora is because last week when we were watching the episode, I was like, who the hell is that? You know, and
yes.
I figured that if we got this far into the season and I had no idea who she was, then probably other people didn't have any idea who she was. And she needed somebody rooting for her.
Oh.
So she was my first pick. And then I picked Gavin because he's cute. And Rick, because I like the fact that he's like sort of not the traditional Survivor type, as far as I can tell. You know, mm-hmm. he's the token outcast. He's the newscaster that's doing this, and
right.
he's
Rick
the one
Devins.
That's lost.
Rick,
yes,
he ticked me off in this week's episode, but we'll talk about that. But I was
he's
not too happy
with
him.
Names.
Yeah,
I do get tired of the two names thing, though. Whether he's Rick or whether he's Devins, because they call him both.
Right,
and that took a while to get up with.
But they call Kelly Wentworth the same, though.
Yes, Jeff, the host particularly. I think he's fond of her.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. And your last man person?
That was my three who are still on the team, and then everybody got to pick one edge of extinction person, and my edge of extinction person is Aubrey. Aubrey, yes.
Who did very well in this episode, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we won't talk about it.
Well, we will when we get to that part.
Yes. When we get to that part.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall I begin then, Adam?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. So
knock yourself out.
Episode 8, season 38, April 3rd was the broadcast date. We start on night 19. We have the Vata tribe. I can't read my own writing. Ron saves Rick and David. There's thank yous all around. There's lots of talk about the voting, plotting, and planning. There's talks about the rocks. We're going to go to rocks.
Well,
anybody?
Ron was saying, if I recall correctly, he was saying he pulled David and Rick Devins over. And he's like, hey, you guys can vote with us, you know, yada, yada, yada. We want to get out either. We're not interested in getting you two out. We want to get out. Wentworth or
Lauren.
Yeah, we want to get her out. So why don't you guys vote with us? And I don't remember the whole conversation, but basically that's what he was insinuating, that you guys can just join the former yellow. What was the name?
Comma.
Thank you. You can join with us. We'll make it to the families. You know, we can all family episode.
That was the first time we heard that family visit thing.
Yeah, we all
which
we'll
of
all
course was
it.
All new for me.
Right. We'll all make it to the family visit. And then the talk that you're talking about rocks, wasn't that going on with the have nots, we'll say, with Kelly and
yes, you know, that's correct.
War yep. Dog and like
yeah,
all
yeah, that were... was War Dog pushing the rocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we had back and forth, and basically the way the episode was kind of lining up is we think, oh, we're going to have this majority because they're going to pull in David and Rick, and then we're on the outs, we've got Lauren and Kelly and Warthog or Wardog or whatever, you know.
The proper name is Warthog.
Sorry, Warthog.
Okay, Sam, any comments on any of that?
At the very beginning, before all of that, the very first bit of the night vision scene was Aurora all by herself, which was like, surprise. And she was saying how she was no longer loyal to anyone, that she just lost Joe. And obviously there were two idiots and Joe was one of them and she was the other because they had been completely blindsided by the rest of the yellow team. And so she was upset because Joe was out and she's no longer loyal to anyone. She's a free agent. So that was her shtick.
It really has been an Aurora episode, this episode, hasn't it?
It will be.
It definitely was, because they had that focus on her, and then she had a back and forth with, you know, Ron, a big cry. I mean, I don't know if you had that in your notes, but later on she had a big crying session with Ron, you know, about how she felt left out on the last tribal. She didn't know what was going on. In the immunity competition, she was super, like, bringing up the fact that she didn't trust the comma team. So yeah, I mean, she's played a big role in the.
She's gone from being a nobody, like Sam said earlier, nobody knows who she is. He felt sorry for her, and now she's like the focus of this week's episode. All right, so we can have a quick visit over to the edge of extinction island. And we see Joe crying about how hard it is.
Yeah, what's up with him crying all the time now? Like, I don't remember, and I don't remember, Faye, if you have been a Survivor watcher before this.
I'm not.
But I can't recall Joe being a crier, you know, in past seasons. But now we've had two episodes, and that was editing. Maybe he cried once, you know, and they just, like, split it up over. But I don't think so, because... The first crying was like at nighttime, I believe, after he got voted off. And then today's was daytime. So I think he at least had a sleep you know, and gotten up, and maybe he's, you know, maybe he's, or maybe he didn't sleep at all. I don't know. But he's just such a crier now all of a sudden. Yeah. Such a crybaby. Yeah. Oh, I got voted off. I mean, maybe it's because in past seasons he's made it a lot further. And right. So he wasn't expecting to get voted off that fast. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so so what? We see Joe crying, and then we immediately go to the first challenge, which is a reward challenge. It's the Chinese takeout food. Num, num, num. Imagine what those people's bowels are going through now after having Chinese takeout.
I was going to say, after I have kind of a sensitive stomach anyway, but after being on an island and basically eating rice for 20 days, and then you get, you know, Kung Pao chicken. I can't imagine that your stomach is
and
prepared.
Sugar and yeah. All the sugar and salty soy sauce, and oh, your arteries are just going to close up. Anyway, so okay, first of the six first winners get to go, I guess. And but they broke into teams, right?
They said there was a random draw.
Oh, right, a random draw. Okay. So the challenge is there's some obstacles to get through. You have to climb up a tower, the crow's nest, and untie two different bags of puzzles. Then you swim with your puzzle to a platform. Everybody gets out and they put the puzzle together on, you know, up on the planks or whatever, up on land. It's a flag, two flags flying in the wind or something like that. As Sam says, there was a random draw, so we ended up having two teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Away they go. Do you want me to? Should I try to say the teams?
Yeah.
On the blue team, I believe is War Dog, Rick Devons, Eric, Aurora, Victoria, and Julia. Black Julie.
Julia.
Yeah.
Thank
you. They did better, I believe. The blue team did better throughout rather than the yellow team, which was Gavin, Wentworth, Lauren, Julie, the older lady, David, and Ron. Julie dragged them down, the yellow team, because she had a hard time getting out of the water. And I don't know, you know, I don't. Anybody have any comments about this entire thing?
They used it to show close-up body shots of the girls.
Okay.
They had big shots of Lauren and Julie, which they hadn't done before, like super extreme close-ups as they were climbing out. And I thought the hardest thing of this whole challenge would be jumping off of the crow's nest into the water afterwards. That would be the part that would have bothered me the most.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they have to jump from there? Or could
yes,
they, have...
they did. Oh, no. Okay. They all, because even the one that didn't untie the puzzle planks had to climb up into the crow's nest and jump down to help ferry them back.
I was wondering how deep the water was, because that looked like a pretty high spot to jump from. And I was thinking, man, that water must be deep enough so they don't like hit bottom. Mm-hmm. When they're you know, jumping in. I was, well, first of all, I want to say, Sam, I don't notice the women body shots really. I think I did notice a little camel toe action possibly.
Oh God, yes.
Because everybody's though. I did, now I will say this, I say I don't notice women's bodies, but I did notice that like the women were all wearing tiny little either boy shorts or like a bikini type bottom, and they were real tight and pulled up. So, I mean, you really saw like female.
Both
crotch.
Women have fabulous abs.
Oh, yeah. And that too. But I want
to. I bet you'd love to have those abs. Any one of those girls' abs.
I would love to have an ab. Anybody's
I'm with you
ab.
There. Yes. Yes.
But Mark made the comment that he feels like any team David is on is going to be the one that doesn't do well. He said, I don't think it was any of the rest of the Lesu tribe. I think it was just because David was on the Lesu tribe that they lost. Cause you know, here he is on this one and they, you know, they lose. And he's one of the ones putting together the puzzle and he couldn't, one of the boards got stuck And David couldn't get it out, and he had to like have the other guy come around and try to, you know, get this board unstuck.
Mm-hmm. Sam, any thoughts on the David?
I'm starting to feel real bad for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, he's not evenly matched with the rest of the group.
No.
In a lot of ways.
He did well, though, in his former season. I mean, he didn't win, but he didn't win, right? He didn't win his former season, but he did.
If he won,
he did
why
really
would
well.
He be back on? If he won, he wouldn't have been eligible to be on again, would he have?
Oh, well, yeah. They have brought back former winners before, but none of the ones for this season won their season, as far as I know.
Ah, oh, okay.
But yes, they have brought back former winners before in other seasons.
And that's legit? You already won, so you can come back and have another chance to win?
That's common. Like what, I mean, that's
is
common.
Is this a career?
I mean, I think so for some.
Do young people become the survivor? You know, my career is I go on a couple seasons of Survivor.
Well, no, they become influencers.
You go
on a couple of reality shows, and then some of them do make the reality show circuit, because like there was a couple on Big Brother who, we can't hear you now, Faye. You muted yourself. anyway,
technology is hard.
Yeah.
There we go.
There was a couple on Big Brother who were really hated. I mean, really hated Big Brother. And then they went on Amazing Race and won.
Yes. The army dude and the bimbo wife, the model. What does she work at? Macy's or something?
I don't know. I don't know what she does, but it was Cody, and I can't remember her name for some reason. But yeah, it's very common. There was a guy on Big Brother who went on Survivor. Then he was medically, he was med-evac'd because he passed out in the heat or something. And then they brought him back on another season because everyone liked him. So he's been Big Brother once and two seasons of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And they all make the rounds. And then, you know, and some of the Big Brother people come back on multiple seasons, and so does Survivor. Some have been on three or four seasons.
Right.
I don't know what the most is, but yes, it's common. And yeah, I think they do make some of them at least for a while. And one guy was on Survivor, and now he has a podcast network built around recapping reality shows.
Oh.
His podcast or his network is called Rob Has a Podcast.
Oh yeah.
And Rob Cesternino or whatever. So he basically makes his money off of his time on Survivor.
Good for him.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I mean. Why wouldn't you? I would be, sticking that pig as many times as I could too, right?
Sure.
Okay. So the winner is in the blue team. They all win and they all get to go on the big pig out, the Chinese food pig out. Aurora seems to be the odd woman out. Yeah, like they. What am I doing? What am I talking about here? Was Aurora on the blue team? Yeah, Aurora was. Aurora is kind of weird. I don't know what to make.
Oh yeah.
Of her. Wentworth is plot. So this is all the discussion that occurred while they were all having their Chinese food mega bash.
They talked
there.
About the damn chickens again.
Oh yeah, Aurora. Like, they were like, well, wanted the chicken.
Wouldn't it be great if a chicken walked up about now?
Right.
Lauren's complaining about being hungry.
And crying again.
And what about Rick Devens now? This thing, you're mad at Rick Devens, Adam.
Well, was later, yeah. But what about him?
Okay. Well, Rick Devens is calling out War Dog because War Dog is saying, you know, come over to my side. And Devin says, no, I'm not coming to your side. You voted me out. You put me up.
Okay.
You left me out to dry.
This is my inconsistency because, as I've stated in the past, I have a soft spot for underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
And War Dog and Kelly and David and Lauren are underdogs right now. I mean, they're really what? Well, because Kama has the numbers at the moment.
No, that's the edit. You're just seeing the edit.
And so I feel bad for them. And so I was hoping, because David had already decided. So this is this when they're having their, it's not, right? Because they have their conversations after the immunity challenge, right?
Yeah, no, I'm talking, there's a conversation in the beginning of the show where Rick Devens, like War Dog, is saying, come on, man, join my team. And Devens says, no, you guys all, you forsake me. You ignored me. You like this, whatever the War Dog tribe is, the three people, they were against
him.
Yeah,
he was
right?
So well. Yeah, and I don't like War Dog, but he was so like hateful. War Dog was just like, "Hey, you should come with us because you're going to be at the bottom of the barrel on Kama, and you're a former Lesu." And Rick was like, "No way. There's no way I'm coming with you ever." I mean, he was just so like, I wouldn't even play that way, even if that's what he was thinking. I would have pretended to be maybe okay with that and then just voted the other way. I wouldn't have been so hateful as Rick was sounding. I don't know.
Sam?
Well, I liked that Rick blasted War Dog when War Dog came over there because you never see that. So far on all of these reality shows, which consists of, you know, Big Brother, Celebrity, Big Brother, and now this. This is the third reality show I've ever really watched. But I've noticed that everybody's very polite to everybody's face and everybody's all cool and calm and is very diplomatic about all these things. So I thought it was very refreshing to just have somebody say what they really freaking thought, which is, how dare you vote me out? I'm back now and I'm mad at you guys. And also, I don't like War Dog much, so I thought that was fine, too.
I can see that. I'm saying this is my inconsistency because I don't like War Dog. I guess because I saw them in this episode as underdogs, it tugged at my heartstrings a little bit. I was like, oh, but they're you know, behind, and, you know, and I want him to join their side because I really don't like, even though he's gay, I really don't like Ron. I just feel like he's being Mr. Bossy Pants, you know, and he's being a gay war dog.
Of himself. Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah. I wanted him to go. And I'm like, I don't want Kama to keep. Because it seems like Kama, and it doesn't seem like it has been. Kama has had the advantage the entire game.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I want it to switch up some. I want Kama to be on the outs a little bit. And so I was just kind of hoping it would go the other way. I mean, in that conversation is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. David and Rick Devens have a little conversation too, and David says that Eric and Ron are driving the game, and he's trying to get Devens to come to his side. They have a little discussion about the idol now, the half and half idol, which they broke up and shared, but now apparently David has the full idol at his ultimate power.
No, he doesn't. So the way it happened was, David had decided he was going to vote with Kelly and War Dog and those guys because they really wanted to, because he felt like he was going to be the bottom of the totem pole with Kama, that they were just going to use he and Rick for the votes, but they were going to be at the bottom of the totem pole. So Kelly convinced him to vote with him, and he's like, David. And then he said, I'll go talk to Rick. So they had a scene where I think they're standing at the well or something. And David is trying to convince Rick to go along with it and vote with. So this is the second time someone has tried to convince Rick to vote with War Dog and Kelly, etc. And Rick's just like, nope, I don't trust them. I don't want to vote with them. They already voted me off. I'm not going to vote with them. I don't care what you do. You know, this is, you know, I know we've been working together, but there is no way you're going to convince me to vote with them, no matter what you do. And then he says to David, he says, but I would like for you to give me the other half of the idol. And right. David says, no, I think I'm going to keep my half of the idol for now. Thank you.
Oh, so Rick says I'm keeping mine.
David says he's keeping his. So Rick says, no way, David, I'm not voting with you. I don't care. I know we trust each other, but I'm not.
Okay.
And he says, but I would like for you to give me back your half of the immunity idol. And David says, I don't think that's a good idea right now. I think I'm just going to hang on to it.
All right. So both Rick and David still have these two halves.
Correct. But neither one of them can use it unless the other one agrees to give them the other half.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, now I have to say, this is, I mean, like, finally we're getting into way more politics and gameplay. Like, here we are in episode 8 now. We're at the merge. There's a lot going on in this game, right?
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is much more exciting than the first 7 episodes, if you ask me.
Agreed.
Well, because, I mean, honestly, there wasn't much. We didn't see too much strategy in the first 6 or 7 because Kama was just blowing everything away.
Yeah.
Well, that was because Lesu didn't have their act together.
Yeah.
I mean, Lesu had a whole bunch of leaders and no teamwork.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they couldn't. Because Wardog, even though he's like ex-military or whatever, he can't help with the physical challenge save his life.
He's a waste of time.
David can't do challenges. You know, they just didn't have anybody. I don't know about Kelly. I would have thought she'd be better at challenges, but she doesn't seem to do very well in challenges either. So they just, you know, they kept losing and yeah.
All right. Well, we go to commercial and we come back and it is now day 21. We join the edge. The edge of extinction. We've got the hotties there, Joe and Chris. We have Aubrey and Reem, who is every time we go to the edge of extinction, Reem is complaining or shouting or hollering about something.
She's a sourpuss. She always seems to be in a bad mood no matter what. I mean, I'm wondering if she's that way in real life, you know, because it's like, seriously?
Well, of course she is.
I mean, I know. I don't know.
And that's probably why they picked her for this slot, because it makes for good TV.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. So we get a new little bit of a challenge here. They get a cork and a message in a bottle. I mean, come on. Anyway, okay, a message in a bottle. Step back, take a step back, says the message. Look at the rock. It's been a rocky road. Take a step back. I mean, these clues are just...
Put a stake in the ground or something like that for your advantage or who knows.
So anyway, they all go running off and... Of course, Reem is yelling at people, don't you go looking for things before I get to go looking for things. did that sound a little bit like Big Fatty? I don't know.
I don't know.
So Aubrey finds the secret thing inside the hole in a rock.
Well, everybody is looking. So there's a staircase that goes up the side of the mountain, and everyone's taking it very literally and looking at the steps because it says step back, and so they're all looking like under the steps, on the steps. Aubrey literally goes on a rock and steps back, like literally steps back and looks up and sees a hole in the rocks, like a little cave. Mm-hmm. And so that's where she found a key or something.
It was a clue to walk down this, whatever, go down the beach and there'll be a stake in the ground or something.
Mm-hmm.
She goes and finds it. It's the practice for the... It's an advantage to practice this rope maze. And it's also... She also gets an extra vote. She can send an extra vote to somebody.
Was wondering... Mark and I were discussing at this point. Does she know that Rick sent her his extra vote when he got that same advantage, when he was on Castaway Key?
Yeah.
I wondered that too.
But later on, I mean, because if she had known that, you would have thought she would have given it back to him.
Yeah, but we don't know who she's given it to.
Well, not yet. Do. Yes, we do. We know in this episode, we know.
Okay. I'm curious to find out how. Okay.
You must have not caught that part of the episode, but we know who she gave it to.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. All right. You all are smarter than me. I missed that one. In any case, I don't think she knows that came from Rick, right?
They never told us one way or the other. I don't recall seeing anything in an episode, but that doesn't mean she doesn't know. So after seeing this entire episode, it leads me to believe that she doesn't know.
Yeah, okay.
But they never said one way or the other.
No.
Okay. All right, Sam, any comments about these things that happened on the edge of extinction and the finding of the secret clue?
Well, I think it's sort of suspicious that once again, Chris is the one that's bringing everybody the clues. So I think he's friends with someone off camera, but that's okay.
A true conspiracy theorist.
Of course.
Or someone off camera likes his bulge. So
or
they're like, oh, come
lines.
Over here.
Yeah.
We'll give you the. We'll give you the.
Get, yeah. We'll let you get carry the clues across the beach so that we can watch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought that was fine.
I did notice he was in his tight underwear again this episode. I was like, yeah. Hey, thumbs up for that.
Thank goodness.
The other thing I noticed is that it looks like the practice is fairly serious and will be more helpful than the last practice. Because she was like all tied up with the rope or something. It looked like she was moving the rope around and over her body.
Yeah, she had to clip something on. It looked like she was like putting on a airline seatbelt or something at one point.
And then had to maneuver around it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because the rope goes through a loop on her belt, right? So they have to put their own bodies through to untie all these knots and things with this rope.
Yeah. And it looked like something that practice probably would give you a good advantage. So that was nice.
Right. It's like recovering from a weekend at the horror hotel. You got to get yourself untied. All right.
I've never been to the horror hotel, so I don't know.
Oh, someday, my son, you will know. Anyway, okay. We go then to the immunity challenge, where these poor bastards have to balance on a beam on their tippy toes and hold a block of wood on top of their head. They can't touch the outer border, like the frame. They can't touch the frame. They can't hang on with their hands. If they touch anything, they're out. And if they fall, they're out. If the board on top of their head falls, they're out.
So, do you think they adjust? I mean, I haven't paid a lot of attention, but do you think they adjust the platforms for height? They must,
right? Oh, yes,
right?
They did.
Definitely.
I checked that out. I checked that out, and they did. They kept the top part, like where your heads were, kind of roughly the same position probably, so it'd be easier for the camera to pan across. But the foot part, some of them were taller and shorter than others.
Perfect.
Okay, I was going to say, because that would be unfair for people who were taller.
Yeah.
Because the shorter the shorter guys are like have to be higher up on their tippy toes, because Gavin looks fairly short. And I was looking, you know, and I think David's not all that tall, so, yeah.
Gavin was looking exceptionally tasty in this particular challenge.
True, yeah.
He was all stretched out.
I agree.
Standing up straight like a good little soldier. I might have to freeze frame that and print that picture out. All right, well, there's 12 of them standing on their tippy toes with a block of wood on their head. It's like the whole, remember when you were a child, Sam, and your mother made you walk around the room with books on your head and you had to don't let the books fall. Did you do that?
Yeah. That was to practice good posture. You did that. Everybody did that back then. And nobody does that now.
No.
I've never seen a kid with a book on their head.
I was actually going to say, was that really a thing? I mean, was that?
It was really a thing.
Okay.
It was really a thing.
I know there are some African tribes where the women carry the fruit platters and stuff on their head. I don't know if they still do that, but I've seen National Geographic episodes where
this was a thing. To have good posture and learn to stand up straight, you should walk around with a book on your head, and the book should not fall off.
Well, if people who had done that in a prior life or when they were younger might do better at this challenge then.
Yes. So let's see how people actually did do. So we have 12 people up here, all lined up in a row. The first person out is War Dog, who it didn't last like
Kel
20
Sabreez.
Seconds. Yeah. So in order, War Dog is out. Eric is out. Gavin, my poor, lovely Gavin, goes out. No points for me on that one. Who's next? Kelly Wentworth falls. Rick Devons falls. Julia falls. And then we have Ron go down. And then Julie
and Ron
goes,
was really upset. Also, I found it was funny. So the first three or four, Jeff was like, oh, we have all the really in shape people.
Yeah.
And then next came Rick. And then Jeff was like, oh, Rick, I guess you're now an honorary member or something like that of the in shape people.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And then David quips that he hopes Rick didn't do it just for the joke.
Right. Okay. Julie, and then Julie, the older lady, Julie goes out.
Etsy woman, right?
Sorry?
Etsy woman. She's the one that has the Etsy store or whatever. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we are at, through all of this thing, Jeff is going on about building character, and only you people on Survivor get to stand here on this thing holding a block of wood on your head. Like, what was that all about?
I always think the hardest part of the challenges to me would be listening to Jeff every single thing. If I move my foot, Jeff's like, oh, Adam moved his foot a little bit. I mean, that would be the part that I wouldn't be able to concentrate, because every single move these people make, Jeff is like commentating about, oh, David had a little bobble there. Oh, good recovery day. You know, oh, his feet are moving. He must be getting really tired. You know, and I'm like, I want to say, shut the fuck up, Jeff. I don't need you to be talking about how tired I am. I just need to focus, you know. Right. I mean, it makes for good TV, but I mean, you know, it's got to make it even harder having someone commenting about how tired you must be. Oh my God, they must be so tired right now. They've been up here for half an hour, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, shut up. Mm-hmm.
So it is. It gets to 25 minutes. We have the last four people left, who are Lauren, Victoria, who is absolutely just like a rock since the beginning. She's been just not even flinching. Who else is up there? Lauren is up there. Aurora is up there, Victoria and David. So all of a sudden, Laura can't see. She blacks out. She falls.
Lauren,
falls face first to the ground.
Well, yeah, there's more than that, though. There's buildup. So first she goes, I can't see.
Yeah.
You know, and then they have a close up of her face, and it looks like her eyes are like, it looks like her eyes are about to roll back. I mean, it literally looked like she's in the process of fainting.
And they did that beautiful little television blurred, wiggy-waggy, I'm falling down the rabbit hole. That was a touch of work.
She says, I think I'm going to black out. I think I'm going to faint, something like that. She wobbles a little bit. And then all of a sudden, like you said, she just drops like a sack of rocks or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could have seriously hurt herself, because I mean, she dropped to the ground. That thing, that block of wood, could have fallen on top of her or, like, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. But she fell.
Mm-hmm. So out she goes, and then the campaigning starts.
Well, David had already gone at that point as well.
Yeah.
So
correct. That's true. And then so we have Aurora and Victoria. Aurora starts going on about, I wasn't one of the votes, or.
Yeah. So basically what she's saying, it's her and the redhead. What's her name?
Victoria.
And she's, I want to say Pippi Longstocking or whatever, but anyway, so she says to her, hey, if you give this to me, she's like, I feel like I'm the low man on the totem pole. I feel like I can't trust you guys because you didn't tell me, you know, last week. But if you give this to me, you know, that will win back my trust or whatever, is basically what she's saying. To summarize, I don't think that's exactly how she said
it. Let me win and you're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ones who were had already gone out, who were sitting over on the side, were like, oh my God, that's so insensitive. Shut up. Don't be, you know, Lauren is laying half dead on the ground and you're negotiating and like all this guy. They're like all horrified that she's negotiating while Lauren is still out. She hasn't come to at this point.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sam? Are you horrified that Aurora is negotiating?
Well, I was with Victoria when Victoria said, this is not the time. I was like, yeah, this really isn't the time. It's probably good TV, but no, this is tacky.
Actually,
I'm ashamed of you, kid.
I don't hate it that she did it. like, I don't mind, because I don't think Lauren, I don't feel like Lauren was in a life or death situation. I feel like she just fainted, and the doctors were over there. And I mean, that was all fine. They would have stopped the game had she been in any serious, like, you know, threat or danger. But I think it's bad gameplay because it just looks bad.
Exactly.
So I don't think, yes, I would have been negotiating while someone has fainted and fallen on the ground. I would wait until they say she's fine before I start doing that. So I think it was a bad choice for her to do it. I don't hate her for it, but I don't think it was a good game move.
Right. Okay. My thought is that she must have been so close to passing out that she was just, I got to negotiate myself into a deal here, I think. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
She looked a lot less stable than Victoria.
Yeah, this is definitely true. But anyway, who knows what was happening? Who knows what anybody was able to see? And who knows that all of this didn't actually really happen after the fact? And they're just doing an edit.
You know, the negotiating, I don't remember there being a lot of negotiation on Survivor. I mean, generally on Survivor, people just go to the end. I don't remember ever seeing a lot of, oh, if you give this to me, I'll keep you safe. Big Brother, that happens like almost every competition. They're like, oh, you know, let me have this one. You know, I'll keep you safe, you know, whatever. If someone tried to negotiate with me, I would not do it. And I would never try to negotiate with anybody. I would.
You don't know that.
No.
You right now stand on your tippy toes for more than 3 minutes and tell me that you can't.
I would just go out. I wouldn't try to negotiate. I think the competitions, you need to win it on your own merit. Anyway.
Okay, Mr. Super Fantastic. All right, Sam, any comments?
I'm not even going to go on Survivor, so there's you're not going to see me standing on a thing trying to hold a block of wood with my head. That's never happening, so it doesn't matter.
I think you and Mittens need to go on the Amazing Race. We'll see.
We'll fight how well you do. So much. Because I'll tell you why. Oh, he listens to this, but I'm going to tell you why anyway, because we're probably going to get in a fight about this, but he needs a plan for everything, and I'm kind of a by the seat of my pants kind of person, and he doesn't like to wait, and he doesn't like stressful situations. So I feel like that would be just the recipe for the two of us to be like at each other's throats. Like, I would be loosey-goosey, no plan. He'd like, you know, want a plan. It would be stressful. We'd be, you know, I mean, it would just be, he's like, we can never go on the show.
Sam, would you take your husband on The Amazing Race with you?
I don't know what The Amazing Race is.
What? Oh, Sam.
Well, it's coming back on next week. We don't have a recap podcast for that, so there's no podcast. But if you look for it, I don't remember what network it's on. The host is, I can't remember his name. But anyway, it's partners, and some of them are friends. Some of them are boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend. Some of them are married couples. But they travel from country to country racing each other. And then they have like competitions along the way. And the last person, they have to get to the next country. And then they do a bunch of these competitions. And the last partnership or couple to make it to the mat gets eliminated that week. And then they move on to the, and it includes their racing. Like, they have to see who can get on the first plane out of that country to go to the next one. And, you know, all that. So
it's quite exciting. You should look at it. It'll be yet another new time-wasting series for you to get yourself involved in.
Okay. I'll keep it in mind. Okay.
All right. Okay. So all that business, we come back from the immunity challenge.
Well, no, you didn't say who won. So then, even after all that negotiation, it appears, now I don't know if this is correct, but it appears that Victoria legitimately lost her balance or something.
Yes.
And fell. So it ended up that Aurora did win immunity, even though I don't think it was a result of her negotiating.
I don't think so either.
So,
and Creepy Jeff made a big point of saying Aurora earns, does not negotiate immunity, in his, you know, Creepy Jeff voice.
True. Yeah. You find Jeff to be creepy?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. So Aurora wins immunity and she gets the second vote from Aubrey.
Yeah, that's what you were saying you didn't know earlier. Oh, and well, you do know. It's in your notes right there.
But she doesn't know who gave it to her.
Right.
Yes. Okay. All right. So then we get more talk about the loved ones from this group, these guys, Eric and Ron, going, I guess this is we're at the immunity tribal. We're at the tribal meeting now, right?
Well, before that, though, let's talk about it because, and I also don't like War Dog. I'm just going to say I don't like War Dog. However, we have all this talk back and forth about, you know, Eric and War Dog talking about, oh, we got to make it to the family, you know, to the family, whatever. And then War Dog decides he's going to talk to each of the younger members of this comma alliance, you know, or whatever. And we see him talk to Gavin. We see him talk to
Julia.
And I think it's the only those two we see, but I think he talked to all, I think there were like three of them.
Isn't there a third?
He may have talked to Aurora as well. I'm not sure, but yeah, there is a third and I can't remember now off the top of my head who it is. But we see him talking to them and what he's saying is, hey, I think you guys are really the bottom of the totem pole for Kama, and Ron and Eric are really running the show and they don't care about you and yada, yada, yada. So then Julia, she's really listening to him and, oh, Victoria was the other one. And so Julia's like, they have a one-on-one with her where she's saying, you know, he makes a really good point, you know, that they're really working hand in hand and not really, they're just kind of driving the rest of us and, you know, what's going to happen later in the game and maybe we need to make a big move. So she says, I'm going to test this out by talking to Eric and seeing if I can convince him to vote out either David or Rick Devins.
Right.
And she talks to him and he immediately brings up the family. Oh, we got to make it to the family, whatever. And so she's like, oh, so that kind of confirms to her what War Dog is saying. Oh, look, Eric, immediately when I try to challenge who they want to vote out, he brings up the family episode or whatever. And so that's kind of how that ends up. So you feel like War Dog has gotten a little crack in there, you know, a little.
Right.
A crack is forming
you're
that War Dog is putting
really
in there.
Like, you're going to fall in love with this
War Dog. I'm not liking
him.
I don't want him to win, but I felt like he did a good job convincing them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like him either, but he's right.
Gavin was also being convinced because there was a little section where they talked to Gavin and Gavin was like, maybe we do need to make a big move now, you know?
Right. Any comments, Sam?
I as I said, I don't like War Dog either, but he was right about this, I think. And he was definitely right about it being the Ron Eric show on the other team.
I do, and I know we're about to talk about tribal, but I do feel like they chose the wrong of the they chose the wrong person, in my opinion, to get rid of.
On the voting out.
On the voting out, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk. Just hold off now. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. So it plays out. David and Wentworth. They know they're a target as well. There's a discussion about that. But Wentworth and Lauren have idols, which we're reminded of.
Oh, wait. Can I interrupt a minute?
Yeah.
When they were talking about their idols, they said, well, if we play them, I guess we have to go find them again. Does that mean that once an idol's played, it gets hidden in the jungle again and you can, in fact, find it again?
Yeah, once an idol's played, another idol gets... I don't know if it's the same idol, but when an idol is played, another idol goes back out into the wild.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's just move on to the tribal council then. We have the jury now, being four people from the edge of extinction, who are Reem, Chris, Aubrey and Joe. And then we get all the snicker, the nattering goes on.
Yes.
Eric says there's seven people who've made a group decision, says Eric. Boy, is he going to be surprised. And then there are five people of the Lesu members, and someone makes these packages, this reference to packages. Can anyone explain any of that?
I thought he was trying to imply that Rick and David were a team. You know, people come as packages, and I thought he was trying to imply that their group had taken on David and Rick together as a team, and I don't know.
Okay. Well, speaking of Rick Devons, and he comes back with regarding the seven people, that the trust factor is screwed, he says. So Devons is throwing it out there that he's saying, I know who you are.
He's mad that his former tribe members voted him out.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he's not thinking clearly, because even if you're going to go with Kama, don't just put it out there. Like, I mean, he's basically like, hey, guys, I'm voting with Kama tonight. Screw you. You know, I mean, I don't think that's a good game play, or that's a good way to play. But
yeah, Sam,
who am I?
It may not be, but it's fun to watch. Yeah, I have it in my notes. Rick Devons openly against Lesu.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of like it. I find it refreshing that Devons is being vocal. And I think if it was me and I was pissed off, I think I couldn't probably hold my tongue.
Maybe refreshing, but if you're the vocal one, a lot of times you get voted out. I mean, you need to keep everyone happy with you as much as possible, no matter which way you're going to vote, to stay in the game.
Okay, I'll take that advice, but honestly, I am liking what Devons is doing right now. I think it's good. Is he on my team? Who's up? He's not
on
my team.
Oh,
he's on
your
team.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on anyone else's team? Oh, yeah, Rick Devons. Yeah, he's mine. I do get him.
So it's a good thing you like him.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm not saying I dislike him as a person. I don't think it's good gameplay.
It may not be. I can see why you would say that. It's just fun to watch, though.
Okay, David says you have to...
Well, can I just say this? Because what happens when, let's say, Kama becomes the kind of alliance now that's in the minority, and then Rick needs some of those people that were his former Lesu members, and now he's pissed them all off because he wouldn't work with them at all and was very vocal about it. You cannot work with people, but also being vocal about it, like, I will never work with you again, you know, basically is what he's saying very vocally. If he gets in a position where he needs any of those folks, they're going to be like, oh, no, you would never work with us again. Too bad. So sad. You know, I mean, that's how I feel.
But basically, at the beginning of this episode, he said to War Dog, you guys never supported me. You all voted me out. So why should you expect me to work with you again? So I think it's a valid point on his part to point out, I know that you guys screwed me over. So I think
it's valid.
Trust in you.
I think his voting decision was valid. I think being as vocal as he was is not good gameplay. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. So that all happens. David says, you need to decide if you're going to be a pilot or a passenger. He goes on through these metaphors of blank pages, and some people are blank pages and they don't have the address, and your resume is empty and all this kind of, David just blathers on like,
well, I know exactly what he's saying, because he's trying to convince. So I'll tell you what he was saying. He was saying most of the folks that are here right now have not made any big moves. And when you go to the end, you need to have big moves on your resume in order to win the game. And he's trying to convince those folks that War Dog talked to vote with the former Lesu folks and make their big move, because that is going to be a resume item for them if they get out either Ron or Eric, is what he's trying to insinuate, is that they need something on their resume. They need to make a big move tonight. That is what he's trying to convince
them. He's campaigning for people to make a move against Eric then.
Eric or Ron. I mean, I don't know who, but one of the two big dogs on the Kama tribe, or okay. The Kama Alliance. They're no longer separate tribes, but the former Kama members.
Sam, do you have thoughts on this?
Well, that makes perfect sense now that you explain it. It's like if you don't know how to bid in bridge. Does anybody even play bridge anymore? But no. Yes, that makes, yeah. So that makes perfect sense now that you explain it, but it made no sense to me when I was watching it. I'm like, why is he going on about what is he saying with the paper and the resume and the
you have to listen to what people are saying and then kind of put it in context of all the conversations you've heard up to tribal, because they're trying to say things without actually coming out and saying them. So, you know, in saying that you need a big move on your resume or you need something big on your resume if you make it to the end.
Just like that very cryptic thing that Eric said about we want to see our loved ones. He was doing a callback to his chat with the people about we got to stick together until we get to the loved ones.
Exactly. And did you see the look on Julia's face when he said that? Yeah. She's like, oh, here he goes again.
Yes.
You know, who knows? That might have been what convinced her to vote the way she did. You know, that last time that he said that, she's like, oh, screw this with the family episode again.
Okay, so that's all that I have for the tribal council. We're going to get to the vote. Before we get to the vote, does anybody have anything else they want to say?
It was funny when War Dog mocked that loved ones bit. You know, are we here for the loved ones visit or are we here for $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Because Ron did indeed pitch it right there at tribal again.
Right.
And that's all I have too.
Okay. Well, here we go to the vote. I must say I was surprised by this vote because I didn't see this one coming.
Oh, I did have one other thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not think that Lauren or Kelly should have played their idol once again?
Yes.
I'm like, definitely. Why the hell? Maybe they knew something that we didn't know. But every week that they're not playing their freaking idols, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, you two are at the bottom. And they're not playing their idols. And I just knew one of them was going to go. The editing made it – okay. So the editing made it look like it was going to go the way that it went. But normally on Survivor, whatever they edit it to make it look like, it goes a different direction. So I was expecting one of the girls to go home because of the editing pointing to – the way that it actually went. Right. And they tricked me because because like I said, normally they edit it to try to fool you into thinking, oh, so-and-so is going home and then someone else goes home, you know, but
sure. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, why don't you play your idol or you won't be here. You'll be on the edge of extinction. And
yeah, you know. I was surprised too. Okay. Well, they didn't. So we go, so the vote comes out. We get Kelly Wentworth has two votes against her. Lauren has two votes against her. None of them seem, they all just seem to be, oh, whatever, nonplussed as these votes are coming up. But then all of a sudden, bing, bam, boom, Eric, Jeff keeps pulling names out of the hat, and it's Eric. He gets six, I think, I believe he got 8 votes in total.
Yeah, basically all of the Victoria, Julia, Gavin, and Aurora all ended up voting for Eric. And then Kelly and David and
David Eric. Voted for Eric.
Right. Yeah. So Kelly and David and War Dog and Lauren all voted for Eric as well. So there were 8. So the other former Kama folks, along with Rick Devins, split their vote between Kelly and Lauren. Mm-hmm. Jeff was a little bit tricky on it because he started out saying, Kelly, Lauren. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got 2 votes for Kelly, 2 votes for Lauren. Then Eric, you know, and then he's like, oh, we've got 2 votes for each. And then he starts going, Eric. And then you're like, oh, gosh. But I just want to say, They should have gotten rid of Ron. Because Ron was the one really trying to pull the strings. Eric was just going along with him. I think they should have gotten Ron. I think Ron would have been the biggest move. I think Eric was just the henchman or just the kind of side piece for Ron.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope Ron got a side piece out of Eric. That'd be good. I believe the thing that tore Eric's fate was that he was going on too much about this family. We're the family. Let's be a family. We've got to get to the family, the loved ones.
Yes.
Right? I think everyone's going on, get away from me with your loved ones.
I mean, maybe, creep. But that was Ron's idea, though. I mean, Ron is the one who started it.
Eric was the one who was going on about it incessantly. Right, Sam?
Well, I wondered about it too, because I thought, well, why are they going for Eric and not Ron? But I thought a completely different reason, because they decided Eric was the greater physical threat to them in the challenges.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
That could be. You could be, but I feel like Ron was the brains behind the two, though.
Yeah. I think Ron's been doing good as a puppeteer, a puppet master.
And I should like him because he's gay, but he's so arrogant about it, you know, just like, oh, I'm running everything. I'm the puppet master. That just rubs me the wrong way.
Right. Mm-hmm. No underdogs for him. No, he's right. No underdog.
Right. I need a good underdog. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's that then. Eric leaves. He goes and he obviously takes the edge of extinction. I'm going to miss seeing his, he's a nice looking man. I'm going to miss him standing on pedestals.
Well,
and
at
such.
Least we'll see him on the edge of extinction, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now we have three hotties on the edge of extinction and Reem.
And Aubrey.
Oh, and Aubrey, yes.
Who grinned when they read that Eric was getting kicked off. Aubrey grinned, Ron was stunned, Rick Devon's stunned.
Hmm. Okay. So we go to black, we come back from the commercial, we have the teaser for next week's episode, David and Devons, Rick Devons, they're arguing about what to do with the idol. There's a bunch of names, everyone's tossing a name out about who to vote out, and the edge of extinction. They're all reacting to something incredible that's about to happen.
Well, were they on the edge of extinction or were they already in the jury box at that point? Because I read that to be they were all sitting in the jury and were shocked by what happened in Tribal.
I thought so too.
Yeah. Okay. I thought they were at Tribal when Aubrey got that shocked look on her face. But
all right.
Regardless, well, apparently, and Jeff says this has never happened or... I haven't seen this on Survivor, or this is, I don't know. He makes some comment like that.
Whatever. It's all hyperbole. Well, that's that. Anybody have any last comments about this episode?
Yeah, Sam, last thoughts on this episode?
No, not really. It was so far the best to date, though, I think.
I agree. And yeah. like Faye said, I think because they're finally getting into some more individual strategy, and, you know, kind of swapping around and different alliances switching up and all that. Whereas before it was just Kama winning everything. And so we're finally starting to see a little bit more strategy, I think.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Faye, final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot more exciting, this episode. It's starting to really ramp up for me. And it's interesting to see new alliances building and new enemies people working against each other. So yeah, I have enjoyed this one. And we got to see Gavin, who's on my team.
This one was good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
I'm not here next week, so you all have a good time and somebody better take notes.
I practiced this week. I'll give it a shot.
All right.
All right. Well, so Faye, where can everyone find you?
Look for me in a new episode coming later in the week at pinkwheelnuts.com.
And Sam, where can people find you, or can they?
I don't have a podcast of my own. They can find me on Facebook, but not as Sam from the Hinterland. I'm in the Pride 48 chat group on Facebook. That's probably the easiest place to find me.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun.
It was really fun. All right. Well, you guys can find me over at geekygay.com. or at pride48.com, where you will find a lot more episodes. We have a June event coming up. You guys can look on the website for that. And we have an August event in New Orleans as well. We'd love to see everyone there. There was a little bit of a snafu with the hotel, so we're working on getting that code working for all the days. So keep an eye out on the Facebook and the Twitter and pride48.com for all that. But we will see you guys next week to talk about Survivor. Bye, everyone.
And the game.
Right.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.